Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, Tech Executive Consultant, and today our subject is Managing Your Manager. Before getting to that, I want to thank everyone that joined me on my webinar last week. It went very well. I had people from several continents. I'm very happy. If you want to watch a recording of it, in case you missed it, you can find the link in the show notes. And I'm going to have another one in the next few weeks. So if you have any example of innovation and creativity in tech, please send me an email with your ideas. I'd love to have it because I'm gathering information for that webinar. You can find my email in the show notes. With that out of the way, let's now talk about managing up. The issue of managing your own managers is that it is very often the case that you do not have some sort of an omnipotent manager who knows everything. The CEO is very rarely someone that is capable of making every single decision correctly. A person that can and knows when to butt in and when to let you just do what you think you should be doing. And never a person that always has the right answer. And more importantly, usually you have to manage your manager because there is politics involved. I have a previous episode about managing politics in your organization. And a part of that is that one of your interfaces in order to affect the politics is to make sure you have enough sway with your manager. So let's talk about that. When I'm helping my advisory clients, a very common issue I keep hearing them say, I'm the VP of engineering, I've been here for 4 years, and still I feel like they won't listen to what I have to say when it comes to something that's not purely engineering. Or I'm always seen as the no-no guy, the guy that always says no. Or I'm always told about things last. When I'm coaching leaders, I know that if I'm hearing all of these stuff, what it means is that they do not know how to claim their spot. They do not know how to affect things. It's way easier to have a sway with those people who answer to you. You're their manager, you can tell them what to do. At least you think you can. But that's not the case when it comes to your manager, especially if you're an executive and you're answering to, for example, the CEO. These are people with not a lot of time, usually a lot of charisma and some sort of a distortion field, so that they can usually make you do whatever they feel like doing unless you come in with the right approach. And I know I'm generalizing, and this is not an issue about stereotypes. This is really something I see every week with clients. So you have to put aside whatever bias you've got. And I'm talking about facts, what I'm seeing and what I know helps. You have to ensure that you can affect them. So first of all, let's lay the ground rules. Who do you answer to? Is your manager a CEO, someone who is hired and has been brought into the company, or if it's still a smaller company, you probably have to answer to all the founders. That means that you likely only report in the organizational chart to one of them, but a lot of the decisions will be made in quorum. So you have to make sure that you have sway and you have communication with all the founders. And so you have to ensure that you know who you should be talking to and when, and that you have regular conversations with them. Everything starts with communication. I'm sure that you know that when you're helping the managers in your organization, you tell them that they have to talk to their own people. They have to talk to you. I'm hoping that you get some negative feedback from time to time from your subordinates. People feel safe enough to come in and tell you when you're doing stuff wrong. People have the safety to come and tell you that you should be doing things differently, or when things are not going in the right direction, or to come up with ideas and questions and whatever needed. The same, what do you know, applies to you as well. You have to have the ability to speak up whenever needed. You cannot simply think that just because that person has a very nice title, it means that they are aware of what's going on. Speak up and make sure that you come over and say your mind. If you do not speak up, you do not have the right to later say anything because you had your chance. I hate listening to people say, "I knew that was the wrong decision." If you knew that, you should have spoken up. And if you did speak up and still were not successful in making them go with whatever you thought should be done, it's still on you. That means that you have a lack here, and that's exactly what managing your manager means. So communication, that's the first ground rule. Once you know who your managers are, make sure that you communicate. When you get to leadership positions, things that I'm assuming look very trivial, like having regular one-on-ones with clear feedback, do not happen. I'm assuming that you're telling all your managers in your organization to have these. Yet, I would not be surprised to hear that you do not have a regular one-on-one with your manager. You have probably all sorts of meetings with them, and you are meeting one-on-one alone, that is, but you are not having really one-on-ones where you're talking about feedback and how things are working or not. And you should have these. It does make sense in some cases not to have this with the regularity that happens when there's an individual contributor talking to their manager. And still, you want to have these happening regularly so you have a platform to speak up and so that your manager has a platform to give you feedback. And now when we're talking about how you can manage your manager, it first starts with having leverage. Why would they listen to whatever you have to say unless they understand that whatever you have to say is worthwhile? Now, let's put ourselves in the CEO's shoes for a second. You are in charge of a division in the company that's getting a bunch of the budget in order to do things. You're probably hiring like crazy. You probably have a bunch of costs and you need to make sure that you deliver. And even if you deliver, there's a difference between simply being a delivery machine and being a partner, having a seat at the table. And if you want me to listen to you as the CEO, you have to show me what impact you have here. Again, your leverage. This was part of the subject of the webinar, by the way. So if you're finding this interesting, click the link in the show notes. In order to have leverage in your company, I have to understand as a CEO how you can come in and help us be even better. Not just completing tasks, not just having stuff done on time. What extra do you have? And in order for you to be able to know what those extras are, to know where you should be pushing, where you should be involved, and so on, you have to understand how things are measured. First of all, what are the business objectives? I genuinely hate having a conversation with a CTO that tells me, "I don't really know what my business objectives are. I know that there's a product roadmap and we're trying to hit that." And yes, I do hear the way too often. We are, especially us as technological people, we are very, very analytical and task-oriented. Once you've been given the roadmap, that's what you focus on and you want to get it done. But you have to dig deeper. Just as with your postmortems, you ask the five whys to understand exactly why things are the way they are. You should be doing the same with the roadmaps, doing the same when you're getting feedback and input from up above. When tasks are being shaped upstream, you want to make sure that you understand why things are looking the way they are. Otherwise, you again are simply in the implementation mode and will not have any leverage. So understand the business objectives, what as a whole you're trying to achieve, and even if some of those objectives do not fall squarely on engineering, knowing these and having a bigger understanding of the business as a whole will allow you to be able to know when you should butt in, because maybe tech has another angle here that might help, I don't know, sales do things faster. So understand these things. I have an episode about product mastery. Individual contributors, managers should understand the product very well because that means they will be able to come up with innovation, with novelty that will move the product faster, that will allow them not to do useless work. You, my friend, need to work on your executive product mastery, and that means understanding the business. I don't care that you have a title that says you're the VP of engineering, and so you think you should not understand what happens in sales or what do the people in marketing do. You have, for some extent, to understand these. Otherwise, you are simply a glorified team lead. Once you understand the objectives of the business as a whole, understand how you yourself are going to be measured. Every manager is different. I, for example, always say you should be looking at the outcomes, at the results. And yet, some people are still focused on other things. And in some companies, it actually makes sense to say you should not be only focusing on engineering because we want to see your leverage. And so you will be measured, for example, by how quickly you help and aid other departments. So understand that you should know exactly what you're measured on and make sure that you keep track of it. In those one-on-ones we talked about, every so often make sure that you are still on track, that whatever you think you should be doing is still there, and that you continually improve yourself. And all of the above helps you to have the ability to have a seat at the table. What do I mean? You want to be a key player here, a partner. In the C-suite, you want to be an equal partner, someone people actually consider, someone who gets invited to meetings, to calls. To do that, you have to gain trust. To get there, very often, you have to make your case for it. You might not be someone that automatically gets invited to all sorts of forums, but you need to tell people that that is your place. I know some people feel out of line to do that, but frankly, if you don't think you should be there, then you shouldn't be there. I'm telling you, you are more than likely one of the key players here. You're probably equipped with a different perspective from many other people in the executive team, and you have the ability to make things. You have the ability to create things out of nothing, which basically no one else over there has. And you can take that and enable so much to happen. And you can short-circuit so much useless work simply because you have the right insight. So make sure that you get there. That means, for example, if you hear about a decision too late, go over to the CEO and say, I don't know where this decision was made, but I want to make sure I'm there next time because that was not okay. If your calendars are open and you can see things, I 100% say it's okay to open your boss's calendar, see what kinds of meetings there are in the next couple of weeks, and say, hey, what's that? Maybe I should be there. Claim your spot. If you are not given it, then take it. Really, there's no downside here. You're trying to help the company. This is not about turf. This is not about ego. You know that if you're there, you can help get the decisions better. Just like you know very damn well that if you find issues early, for example, at the product ideation phase, fixing those mistakes is way cheaper than fixing them only after you've completed development and are now in QA before releasing. So make sure that you are there. Have effect upstream. Everyone should know that if you are involved upstream, where the decisions are being made, and not only once they have been made and given to execution, then you have the ability to help shape those tasks, help shape the roadmap, so that your team can have the biggest impact. And it also means that you will be able to have a better vision of what's going to come. If you're hunkered down and you're focused on the current tasks on the roadmap for this quarter, you might be missing out on what growth and strategy you should be employing in order to make sure that you're going to hit whatever goals are likely to be given to you in 2 quarters. So make sure that you are there in those high-level discussions so that you can impact them. And lastly, remember that this is very, very people specific. Every manager does things differently. Understand how your manager ticks. How do they usually like to operate? When are they usually more likely to disregard input and gain allies? For example, it will often be easier to have a sway if you can get the other VPs to say that they agree with you. So gain allies. Use your executive forum in order to discuss things openly and make sure that you understand what your colleagues are thinking and doing. That will allow you to have initiatives and move things together. Managing your manager is not some science. Yes, again, your manager might now have a scarier title, but they're only a human being. Just like you were an executive for the first time at some point, which might be now, the same applies to your manager. Managing them boils down to having effective communication and making sure that you understand what are the goals they have in order to measure your success and how you can affect those goals in the first place to make sure that you are better aligned for success. Do that and you are off on the right track. Not doing that means that you're risking a lot of failure work where you are given things way too late and are now in execution mode working like robots. So with that in mind, start managing up. Open your calendar right now. Make sure that you have a one-on-one scheduled. And if you don't, schedule it. Remember, the first step might be hard, but once you get the ball rolling, things get way easier. That's it for this week. As usual, thank you for joining me. If you're not already signed up, you really should sign up to my weekly newsletter with 3 exclusive insights I don't share anywhere else. The link is in the show notes as well. Simply go there right now, subscribe, I'd love to see that. And I remind you my ask from the beginning of the episode. I would love to hear examples of what you regard as innovation and creativity in tech. Send it to my email, which is in the show notes as usual. Other than that, I hope you're staying safe, socially distancing, whatever situation you are currently at. Thank you for joining me and talk to you soon.